Tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today. We are live from the Tip FM Broadcast Centre on Pier Street in Nina on this very, very cold morning. Indeed, lots happening on the programme today. We'll be speaking to Deputy Alan Kelly about that apology that he doesn't care about. Tipperary Gardaí give us some pre-Christmas safety tips. We chat with Upper Church Manager John Ryan about his Croke Park abseil. And Helen England will talk to us about age in our weekly chat. And Trudy has all the latest from all of the local newspapers and more besides. So she is by the phone right now, and she'd love to hear from you on 1800 938 007. That won't cost you a penny. You can text on 083 311 3311. You can email tiptoday@tipfm.com at any time of the day or night. Lovely competition as well, because we're celebrating Pamela Scott's brand new store in Nina. We have a €50 voucher to give away. That's based on your interaction with us by text, joining in our conversations, or coming up with something brand new. If there's something you want to get off your chest, now is the time to do so, and you could win a €50 voucher by doing so. But do give us a full name and an address so that we can enter you properly into our competition. So that text number again, 083 311 3311. Now, a quick look at what's making headlines today. Tipperary Labour Deputy Alan Kelly says he couldn't care less about the apology issued to him in the Dáil last night by Minister Charlie Flanagan. He also maintains that the Justice Minister should be the next to step down. And we'll be talking to Alan Kelly on the programme after 10 o'clock today. Meanwhile, Leo Varadkar has begun his search for a new tánaiste, with Simon Coveney tipped as a favourite to take up the role. Also, Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Heather Humphreys are being considered to replace Francis Fitzgerald. And the Garda Representative Association says that cutting Garda overtime is like an early Christmas present for the criminals. Assistant Commissioner Pat Leahy has told senior managers there's not enough money to pay overtime for the rest of the year, which is kind of scary when you think about it. More about that later on as well. But first of all, I'm joined in the studio by businesswoman, broadcaster, social media commentator, and indeed mother as well. We should be putting that in there too, Helen, because you're running around with the children today as well. Helen England, you're very welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Fran. Nice to see you.
Good
morning to you.
We're going to talk about something that's close to my heart for the last few years since I turned the big 5-0. Age and what it means to us and stuff. What does it mean to you? Does it mean anything to you, Helen?
Not really. Like, I turned 43 yesterday.
And happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I love my birthday. I'm such a little child. But I just think I number one, I'd never have a problem telling my age to anybody. But I was laughing thinking of my granny. She's long time dead. She's 27 years dead. But she used to lie about her age, and she was like 88 or something. And she'd be like, oh, I'm 82. And I was like, granny, the jig is up. Like, you know. But I think, I don't know, years ago it was a thing where, I don't know as much now. But yeah, there are some people I'd say would hesitate if I asked them their age and stuff.
But you know? Certain milestones make a big difference. Can I ask you, did 40 make a difference to you, for instance?
No, not at all. I am 30 a wee bit, yeah. 30 was when I quit my sensible job. You know, I suppose that was my kind of moment. But I don't think 40 was just kind of funny. It's just so funny to be 40. You know, I was talking to Trudy about this earlier, and I was saying that when you're a child, and I have loads of aunts and uncles and stuff, I have 14 on my mom's side and whatever on my dad's side, and I'd be looking at these women in my granny's house, on a Sunday, and but you know, they're only in their 20s and 30s. I remember my Auntie Kathleen's 21st birthday, but to me they were women, grown up and so old, you know, in inverted commas. But then Trudy made a very good point. She goes, yeah, we looked at our aunts and uncles a certain way, and but not our parents. And that's so true. I think in my head my parents were the same age from when I was like tiny up until I was about I don't know, 13, 14, maybe older. I never thought of them as being any age. Does that make sense?
Mm, it you does, know? Yeah.
But yeah, so these aunts and uncles of mine that was getting about the place were only in their 20s and 30s. And I just can't get my head around that now.
Yeah, you know? Funny enough, up to the age of 50, I was going along with the Oscar Wilde theory that an exception was going to be made in my case about my demise and all of that. But suddenly, you hit 50 and you begin to think about these things very seriously. You
do
know?
You? Yeah. Well, I did have a panic about my pension in my 30s as well. But, yeah, I suppose you do. Again, because 50, again, when you were years ago, 50, when you were younger, 50 was such a big age in your head. But then my dad was at the doctor lately. My dad's 77 and hale and hearty. And the doctor said to him, you know, Pat, these days, 70s is middle age, you know. So I'd go with that one.
But is that just kind of kidding ourselves a little bit?
The doctor says the health of the men now and probably women in their 70s is very good and very impressive. So it's the same as like middle age, you know, or kind of mid 50s or whatever it would have been before that.
Yeah, you see, I think we can get away with all these illusions in our heads until we're confronted by some young one
or some young fella who
thinks we're old.
Yes,
you know,
and that does, honey, really. Well, it's happened to me now for a few years. I was in the bank there lately and I was doing my own banking as we do these days, but there was a guy kind of floating around and he was there kind of customer service and he said, can I help you with anything? I goes, no, I'm grand. I goes, actually, there's a little thing on my bank in 365 that bugs me. It's some old account or something that I had. I says, can I get that taken off? Because it's just silly, but it's annoying looking at it. And he goes, yeah, come on over here. We have PCs over here. So over we went and then he goes to me. He's very nice. And then he goes, do you know how to use a computer? So first of all, he must have thought my hearing had just dropped off. And I was looking at him kind of going, are you kidding me? You know, and it was just the way he talked to me. And I was like, oh, good Lord. And I was at a makeup counter one time as well. And this is easy about 5 or 6 years ago. The young girl on it, she was lovely. And I thought we were having a lovely girly time. And she was like, this is really good. This is like cheekbones in a bottle. And oh, you know, and it was all great. And then I goes, God, this looks like a nice product. She goes, yeah. And then she paused. She went, that's really good for mature skin. And I was like, what?
Ouch.
Is my mother behind me?
Ouch.
You know, and you're a bit like that. So it's those moments.
It is,
ouch, right. Those ouch moments that you're
I had one on Friday night. I was flying to London and went through security. And when I walked through the little thingy, the siren went off or the alarm went off. And this young lad came over to me and I went to put my hand in my pocket to check if I had change. And he said, is it your hip, sir?
Then that's brilliant.
Oh my God.
I wish I'd seen
I was gravely offended.
Yeah.
I was really offended.
A shock.
And he was being nice and polite.
Of course, yeah.
But it really put me in my place in terms of his idea about what
age. Yeah, it's
was.
A reality joke, isn't it? Yeah. But would you go back to being 20 again, Frank?
Yeah.
Would you? I like 43. I like my 40s. I think your 20s were having lots of fun.
Mm.
You know, your 30s kind of find yourself. And then by 40 on, you don't really care. You find, like, I find I really don't sweat the small stuff at all.
But
you
do
know?
You, I mean, I don't feel like 50
not
inside.
At all. Not
do you
at all.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course
I don't.
I do. Well, I don't feel 43. I don't know what age I feel. I probably feel 32.
Yeah.
You know? But it is so funny to see people. I was reading a thing the other day and it said, you know you're getting old when... dot, dot, dot. And one of them was, you know you're getting old when you have a stick in the shed for stirring paint. I thought that was brilliant. And then someone else said, you know you're getting old when you have a shed. And I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. You know, and there are these little moments or when you get up and you go, ooh, or your knees crack going up the stairs or down the stairs and stuff, you know, and all these silly little things.
One of our listeners says, hello, friend, I'm delighted to be getting old. It's better than the alternative.
Exactly. And yeah, but it is. So, and someone said that to me yesterday, like, do you mind being 43? And I was like, oh, listen, I'm lucky. You know, I'm lucky. And I know it sounds a bit miserable, but you'd just be happy to be hale and hearty and stuff, you know.
And that's the whole thing, isn't it? Health is vital. I mean, and if you are lucky enough to be healthy, you know, you should enjoy it.
Your health's your wealth, friend.
Yes.
And that's the other thing I find in myself. I'm saying things that, even this morning, I'm saying stuff that my mother would say or my granny. And in fact, my granny was way cooler than me. My granny Kyo, and her favourite programme was Top of the Pops. She's cool. I love young people, Crather. But anyway, this morning, even with my girls, we were getting ready to go out to school. And you know, you're kind of like, okay, let's go. And you really want to kind of, whatever. But I was there and I was like, do you know what, girls? I don't have time to bless myself. And I was like, those words just come out of my mouth.
It's amazing.
So yeah, you find yourself saying all these things.
But and just finally, is there anything sadder than people trying to look an awful lot younger?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now, that's not to say that you should sort of grow into your Laureate.
Yeah, but there's a gracefully
whatever,
kind of...
Yeah, there is. Do you find that...
Listen, it stands out a mile. I remember there was a comedian up in the north one time and he was prepping an audience before a show and I was in the audience there, I think it was that time. And there was this lady there and she was fairly dolled up now and, you know, she, as our Andrew would say, she was well decorated, you know, in with the jewellery and stuff. And he goes, ah, look at you there, mutton dressed as mutton. And I just thought that was so funny. But yeah, there is a thing. Yeah. You'd have to be very mindful of... I would find myself sometimes looking at something going, yes, would I wear that now or is it age appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
My daughters would very quickly tell me as well if they didn't approve of something.
Yeah, they're
even
very,
at 7 and 5.
Their adjudication is very important, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And brutal. Yeah. And it's very, oh, mommy, look, oh, I love your lovely soft tummy, mommy. No, stop that, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What I get is, are you really wearing that?
Oh, yeah, that's very bad. I tried on a dress one time and I loved it. And I said to the girls, this was a few years ago, they were very tiny. And I goes, what do you think of mommy's dress? And Maddie turned around, she kind of looked at me and put her head sideways, so you know you're in trouble. And she goes, mommy, I have to say, purple's not for you. Which was about four.
Ouch.
You know, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, pinch of salt with all,
all
of
right.
these things.
So,
as well.
You know, even if you're getting old, enjoy yourself.
Enjoy it. What odds? You know, sure, it's a bit of crack. And
as Tom says in Dundrum, the alternative is much worse than
exactly,
this.
Exactly, exactly.
Listen, it's always a pleasure to see you. And
thank
belated
you,
happy birthday.
Oh, thanks
to you
a million.
Well. Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
It is coming up, what is it? It's coming up on 18 minutes past 9 right now. We'll be having a look at the local papers with Trudy after these.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today. We are live from Nina today, from Pierce Street in Nina at the TIP FM Broadcast Centre. So if you're in the vicinity and you want to drop in to say hello, you'll be made very welcome. Now, Trudy is with me in studio to have a look at the local papers. I think The Guardian, first of all, Trudy.
Yes, indeed. There's plenty going on this week. Front page of the Nina Guardian, objection to Nina site plan. The plans to redevelop the former O'Connor's Nina shopping centre site at Martyrs Road here in the town has been appealed to On Board Planola. Simon O'Duffy is writing that works on the €10.5 million development, which involves demolishing the old shopping centre and building a new Lidl, was anticipated to be underway this week, but it now fears the project could be delayed by as much as a year. The appeal has been made by the former shopping centre, by the manager of the former shopping centre, Rory O'Connor. Now, he's not opposed in principle to the development, but he has raised concerns in relation to land ownership and title. So watch this space. A front page picture then of Enterprise Week at Abbey Machinery, and that's Tipperary Senior Hurling Manager Mick Ryan, and he's flanked there by local firm representatives from Abbey Machinery. That's Clodagh Kavanagh. She was a recent award winner there. We were reporting that last week. And along with Divna Harty, who actually will be joining us in studio later this morning to talk about another Bank of Ireland Enterprise event coming up in December. Also on the front page, Gordy assaulted in Nina. Three Gordy were assaulted when they responded to a disturbance in a Nina housing estate last weekend, and will also be joined by Gardaí this morning to tell us more about that incident and, I suppose, to raise awareness, pre-Christmas awareness about safety tips and a number of other issues. It's something we'll be doing over the next 4 weeks or so. Going into the pages of the Nina Guardian, obviously a good story and it's carried in all of the papers. Stephen turns up safe and well, and that's obviously the story of Stephen Cullinan there.
Very good news too, isn't it?
Very, very good news and a huge relief, I would imagine, to his family. Rural communities under daily attack. That's according to Councillor Shamie Morris. Criminal gangs have local communities under daily attack, and Gordy still don't have the resources to fight back. That's according to the now independent councillor. He was speaking at the recent meeting of Nina Municipal District, and he says that he sees gangs of burglars driving up and down roads, casing places on a regular basis, and he's calling for more resources to tackle this issue.
And that's on the light of us hearing that there's no money for overtime for the Gardaí.
Absolutely, yeah. I know. Increased Gardaí activity. Nina, again, we'll be talking about this later. Gardaí are set to increase their presence around the town over the coming weeks, increased checkpoints and stuff like that. Nice one here. Fitness calendar for Pieta House. A local group of fitness enthusiasts have put together a calendar to raise funds for Pieta House. In June of this year, the group raised $5,000 for the mental health charity Grow by running a fitness photo shoot, and they've now basically put those together into a calendar, and they're going to be for next year, and obviously the funds raised will go towards Pieta. Marty for Nina Enterprise event, that's the great Marty Morrissey, and as I said, Divna Harty will be be still my beating heart. Right, anyway, Divna will be in to talk to us about that after 10 o'clock. Nina woman campaigns for life-saving drugs. A sad story here. A Nina grandmother is asking people to sign a petition calling on the HSE to make a trial drug available. Marion Kelly was one of 21 people who until recently were taking Rezpreza, I think, as part of a clinical drug trial. She said the drug greatly improved her life, but now fears for her future following a decision to discontinue the trial. Now, Marion has a rare genetic condition that attacks the lungs and the liver. So she recently launched an online petition with the help of her daughter and has already more than 4,000 signatures in relation to that. Something we reported on there last week, crisis for tourism promotion. That's the tourism promotion group involved in marketing North Tipperary with its funding withdrawn, and I suppose it throws into doubt its future. Sure. And there's plenty of other lovely pictures and stories in relation to the Tidy Towns Awards ceremonies. As we know, the awards were presented up here last week. Defibrillator launch in Aglish. Aglish, a village with a huge heart, it's described, is fighting back and determined not to become a statistic of dying rural Ireland. And the rural village of Aglish in the parish of Bursacane have surpassed themselves with yet another feather in their cap with the launch of the Aglish Community Defibrillator. So that's fantastic news for Aglish and for the Bursacane area. Moving now to the Tip Star, and Tipperary left shocked by three tragedies. And that was three separate deaths in the county. The first, obviously, was the death of Maria O'Grady. That's the wife of the horse trainer, Edward O'Grady. A very sad story there. She died after a fall from her horse. Terribly, terribly sad. And then a woman in her 70s became the eighth road victim in Tipperary on Saturday when the car she was driving crashed against the barrier on the motorway outside Nina. And then, of course, Thurles was left stunned with sudden death of well-known accountant Michael Feuer. He was out here walking when he passed away there. They also have front page coverage of the Gordy assaulted in Nina, and as I said, we'll have further details on that. A lovely picture there then of Daniel and Magella O'Donnell. They set the premier alight, according to the byline or the headline on that. They're pictured with Thurles ladies Sister Evelyn Russell and Sister Fidele's Purcell on stage in the premier hall at the outstanding gala concert, which brought the curtain down on the presentation Sisters Bicentenary celebrations. And further details, I know that our own Eamon O'Dwyer was out covering that last weekend. Plenty of court stories to peruse through in the Tip Star today. 42% of Tipperary people speak Irish. That's latest figures in the census.
Wow.
The Tip Star has broken
that. That's much higher than I would have thought.
Yeah, Owen Keller has broken down the figures there and said the Central Statistics Office 2016 report focusing on education, skills and the Irish language may gladden the hearts of Tipperary's Gaelgors, as it shows that some 42.7% of the county's population claim to be able to speak Irish, and that's slightly above the national average. That's very good, isn't it?
It certainly is. I thought it for
no, no, not at all, which is fantastic. Mm. New club for children with physical disabilities to open. Tipperary Warriors Multi-Sports Club, its newest sports club, is launching this Wednesday, so it's launching today, in the Presentation School Sports Complex. That's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. tonight. Now, it's aimed at children with physical disabilities aged 5 to 17 and their siblings, and it's been run by parents, support groups and volunteers. We've done something on that before, so hopefully we'll do something on that again. Residents voice concern on new housing in Tipperary. It's a story covered in a number of the papers. A deputation of residents from a local housing estate in Tiptown have pleaded with the council to improve services if a planned major development is to be built. Local residents Andrea Ryan and Marion Clark spoke on behalf of residents in the area of Aherlow Heights, Aherlow Crescent and Aherlow Court and Knock and Rawley in Tiptown. It's going to be the subject of a Part 8 planning process with a view to build some 28 new houses. It's understood a recent meeting of the residents galvanised concerns in relation to the plans if certain criteria aren't met, and they addressed the recent meeting of the Tipperary Cashel Municipal District in regards to that story there. Then turning to the Nationalist, village vows to fight council to the bitter end. Eamon Lacey reporting on this story. A defiant Ardfinnan community has vowed to fight to the bitter end to prevent the county council from implementing a halted or hated halted even. One way, don't wish it was halted. A hated one way traffic system over the bridge in the as a permanent fixture. And this is something obviously
this has been going on and on. Yep.
And we hope to be speaking to Michael Murphy on this. So basically, the planning permission has gone through and they're vowing to fight it tooth and nail because this is not what they want. They're looking to have a form of a cantilever bridge on it. Mm-hmm. Lovely picture there in the front of the Nationalist too. Maram Youssef from Clonmel. She's one of 10 female students who were presented with bursaries by the global healthcare company Johnson & Johnson. Now, it's all part of the Women in Science, Technology, Engineering, Maths, Manufacturing and Design program. And that was at a ceremony in UL. It has an acronym there, but I'm afraid I think the longer name for me is better than the acronym. Again, further articles in relation to the Tiptown residents expressing their concern about that planned housing development there. Clonmel meeting to launch South Tip Mental Health Forum. We spoke on that yesterday in terms of tackling that area or discussing the issues and trying to come up with a plan
giving people
forward.
A voice as well.
Giving them a voice, absolutely. Clonmel meeting to put focus on homelessness. And when I finish, I think you will be speaking to this gentleman concerned, Tipperary TD Seamus Healy. It's a meeting that's due to be held next week. Dennis Landy resigns from the Shandon Health Grounds. Yesterday came in the unexpected. Announcement or statement from Dennis Landy that he has resigned from the Shannon due to ongoing health issues. He was first elected to the Shannon in 2011 on the administrative panel and re-elected again in 2016 on the agricultural panel. He started his political career in 1988, having been co-opted to Carrick on Shore Town Council and was elected to Tipperary South Riding County Council in 91, including serving two terms as mayor of Carrick on Shore. He remained a member of the local authority bodies until his elevation to the Shannon in 2011. He extended his gratitude to everyone for their courtesy and support throughout his 30-year political career and concerns expressed for his welfare and his well-being in recent months. So
we wish him the very best.
We absolutely do. PharmaPlan supports its near neighbours with vital equipment. Again, another good life-saving story. Local company MSD Ballydine is funding two outdoor defibrillators in Kilsheelan. They'll be stored in weatherproof cabinets and the responsibility of the will be taken by a local group, the K-Plan Community Centre. So that's obviously good news for Kilsheelan. As I said, plenty more stories in relation to court cases inside in the Nationalist. A nice one here, Ali Condon to broadcast around the clock for suicide prevention charity. A Clonmel student is looking forward to taking part in a DCU, Dublin City University Media Production Society's annual 24-hour broadcast in aid of charity this week. English and media second year student Ali Condon will join a team of DCU students who will contribute to a live stream broadcast from DCU's Henry Grattan Building in aid of Save Our Sons and Daughters, So Sad Ireland. That's from 9 p.m. on Friday. So well done to all of those.
Great idea.
All of those involved in that. So yeah, plenty more there. Just one other story here. A ceramic celebration of the Tipperary Military Barracks. An exhibition of ceramic work called A Tower's Tale by TY students at Abbey CBS School in Tipperary Town will open on the 30th. That's tomorrow at the Excel Art Gallery in Tip Town. For months now, the TY students, under the tutelage of Ms. Jolene Carey and artist Thomas Woolen, created one big exhibition to remember the Tipperary Military Barracks. So I say that is definitely well worth it.
All right. Thanks very much indeed for that, Trudy. And of course, you can speak to Trudy on 1800 938 007. And as she said, we'll be speaking to Deputy Seamus Healy after these.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today live from Nina Today. Now, as you will have heard in our news bulletins, Leo Varadkar has begun his search for a new Taoiseach, with Simon Coveney tipped as favourite to take up the role. Last night, Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan told the Dáil that he was horrified that documents about Boris McCabe was not provided to the Charlton Tribunal. But of course, in parallel with all of this, there's huge issues like homelessness, for instance. And there's a meeting on housing and homelessness taking place in the Park Hotel in Clonmel next Wednesday, the 6th of December at 8 p.m. And that meeting will be chaired by Deputy Seamus Healy, who joins me online now. Seamus, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
And thanks for talking to me today. Seamus, before we talk about that public meeting, would you give me your view on this political crisis of the last few weeks?
Well, Fran, I think that there are very serious issues at the heart of the Irish establishment and indeed at the heart of government that need to be addressed and need to be debated. I don't think that type of debate or that type of detail could have been done in the in a general election, a snap general election, a short general election, I suppose, in the run-up to Christmas. But I do believe that those issues need to be debated and addressed in the course of a general election at a very early date in the new year. And I say that because I don't have any confidence that this government will address the very serious issues, you know, at the heart of Irish society. You've mentioned homelessness, there's health. There's all these issues that are arising now, and I have to say that the performance of the new Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, last night certainly made me less confident that these matters would be addressed.
Why, Seamus? Why particularly?
Well, I think his performance was frankly incredible. I mean, he told us that on the 13th of November he took a telephone call from the Secretary of the Department who told him that he was about to retire. And that this threw him, and he was shocked by it. And as a result of that, he didn't recognise the significance of the email which the secretary told him about in that conversation as well. Well, now, Fran, this official had
Noel Waters. We're talking about
Noel Waters.
Yes.
He had reached retirement age. He had 40-year service, and it would be in the norm of things that he would be thinking about retirement. Mm. I can't see how it would have been shocking that the minister would have heard this from him.
So you don't believe him, Seamus? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think this is a credible statement, to be honest with you, Fran. And you know, so I think that he went on to tell us then that he didn't check the email. Mm. However, he did issue a statement dealing with the email on the very same day. He also told us that you know, he hadn't referred. The Judge Charlton had made an order for discovery from documents from the Department of Justice. Some documents were provided, others weren't. That fact hasn't been referred for investigation to anybody, and that's a criminal offence. Not dealing with an order for discovery by a judge in such circumstances. He also told us that he instructed the official to refer the particular email to the Charlton inquiry, and that wasn't done for a full week afterwards. So I think there's
Incompetence as opposed to anything that's premeditated or Machiavellian in any way?
Well, you know, you can certainly look at it that way, I suppose, but I would be of the view that you know, even if it's a combination of both, it sounds to me as being just not credible, Fran. I think any common sense person would find it difficult to accept that somebody who had 40-year service, who had reached retirement age, that that person telling the minister that he was going to retire, that would have shocked him. I don't think that's at all.
Was it any surprise to you to realise the difficulties within the Department of Justice? Was there anything surprising in what came out?
I don't think so, Fran. I mean, this is difficulties in the Department of Justice in the Garda Síochána, and indeed at the heart of the whole Irish establishment, the central bank and places like that, the ESRI, you know, they're going back for years. There's been various reports on them. For instance, Claire Daly and Mick Wallace have been raising issues in relation to the Department of Justice and the Garda Síochána for years. There have been numerous inquiries in relation to that whole area. So, I mean, I'm certainly not at all shocked by what I've heard over the last while, but what I do believe is that, you know, we've had years of this, and successive governments have failed to deal with it. Mm. And I think we're at the point now where it does have to be dealt with. And I do believe that a general election will be necessary to make a new start in all these areas.
And to get along to your public meeting, I'm just thinking that if I was stuck with my family in a room somewhere and hoping against hope for a house or something like that, and I heard all of this political drama and cut and thrust going on in the background, I'd be pretty cross, because that has no relevance to my life, really, you know?
Absolutely, and so they would be absolutely be correct to be cross about it, because you know, this Christmas morning you're going to have over 3,000 children waking up to Santa Claus in a hotel bedroom or in the bedroom of a bed and breakfast accommodation. You know, we've 8,000 people homeless. And to be honest, the facts are that there is effectively no strategy to deal with homelessness and a huge housing emergency that's out there. I mean, look, we have 120,000 families on local authority house waiting lists. We have thousands of people who are in housing assistance payment accommodation, which means that they, at the end of the week, they haven't two halfpennies to rub together. We have thousands more, Fran, who are not on any list anywhere. First, because they're couch surfing or doubling up with relatives. Or in many cases, there are thousands more who are not able to get a mortgage, but who are not able to get on the local authority house waiting list either, because the income limit for local authority waiting list has been reduced significantly over the last number of years, meaning that people on significantly less than the average industrial wage. A family now on something like €25,000 per annum of an income will not qualify for social housing on the local authority house waiting list. So you have thousands of people in that situation who are paying anything up to now in Tipperary €1,000 a month for a three-bedroomed house. So you have a huge housing emergency out there, and we're effectively doing little or nothing about it. We're certainly not doing enough about
it. And in light of that, what did you make then of Leo Varadkar's comparison to other countries, where he said, look, you know, we're not as bad as we think we are?
Well, it was simply untrue and dishonest, Fran. Unfortunately, I have to say that. You know, the figures and the report he was using was 2 years old. And secondly, the report specifically stated that this should not be used for comparison purposes, because the figures did not compare across different jurisdictions. So unfortunately, as I say, it was completely
untrue. And the trouble is that when he says something like that, it has a lot of weight. And to people who are saying, you know, well, maybe we should be helping out people, or once they hear that from the Taoiseach, they say, look, sure, it's not as bad as people are painting it, so, you know, aren't we grand?
You know, I think, to be honest, though, Fran, we're gone beyond that, because, you know, the situation in housing and homelessness out there is such an emergency now that is affecting almost every family.
Do you have
country.
A number for Tipperary about the homeless amount?
Well, the last figure we had for presentations as homeless was, I think the figure was 359. But I know myself that on a daily basis I meet people who are homeless, who've got notice to quit from accommodation, their accommodation's been sold, our family members are moving back into it, or their mortgages are being foreclosed and banks are taking back accommodation. And I know as well that there are people sleeping rough right across all our towns in Tipperary. There's about 3,500 people on the official local authority house waiting list on top of that. And as I've said, there's a considerable number of other people, possibly as much as 1,000 families, who are not on any list anywhere because they simply don't qualify, because the criteria have been has been squeezed so much that they now don't qualify either for the list or for a mortgage. So we have a very serious emergency on our hands. And the meeting in...
And who do you want to come along to that meeting, Seamus? Who should attend that?
Well, it's an open invitation to everybody. I think anybody who is affected by homelessness should come along. Anybody who wants to do anything about homelessness should come along, because you know, that is now the real question. Now is, what are we going to do about this, and who is going to do it? And I believe that the public generally, people like ourselves, and people who are directly affected by it, are going to have to take this issue by the scruff of the neck and ensure that that a real issue is made of it, and that real houses are built by local authorities for families, and also that repossessions are stopped. And we can do that in two ways, Fran. There's many repossessions by banks which the state itself owns, AIB and Permanent TSB, and the Minister for Finance should stop that immediately simply by instruction. We do need the declaration of emergency to stop other banks from doing that, but we should do that as well. So we need to do two things. Father Peter McVerry has said recently that the only way to deal with this homelessness and housing crisis is to build local authority houses at an intensive rate, and I agree fully with him on that. The second leg of it, as I say, is to stop people falling into homelessness by way of being put out of accommodation, either by way of mortgage or rental accommodation.
All right, Seamus, so the meeting is happening next Wednesday. It's the Park Hotel in Clonmany. I think it's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
8 o'clock, and just to say that we have two nationally known figures who are very prominent in this whole area and who have a lot of experience in this whole area coming. Dr. Rory Hearn, who is an author, a researcher at Maynooth University and a social justice activist, and we've also Mike Allen, who's the Director of Advocacy at the housing charity Focus Ireland. And as I say, both of those have significant experience in this whole area, and they will be able to bring that experience and their own experiences, you know, to that meeting on the night.
All right, Deputy Seamus Healy, thanks for making time for me today, Seamus. We're broadcasting live from Pier Street in Neenah, and please join in our conversations, 1800 938 007. You can text on 083 311 3311, and we'll be having a look at all the text coming into us very soon.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1800 938 007.
And you're very welcome back to TIP Today. Now, for the second successive year, Bank of Ireland's Enterprise Town Showcase returns to Neenah on this coming Friday. And to talk to me about this, I'm glad to be joined in the studio by the manager of Bank of Ireland in Neenah, Dimpla Harty. Good morning to you, Dimpla, and thanks very much indeed for coming in to us. It was a huge success last time around, wasn't it?
Yes, Fran. Thank you for having me again
year.
Yes, it was such a success last year. We did it over 2 days that I suppose we were under pressure to do a revisit again this year. A lot of businesses and clubs and associations who were able to promote what they do last year said they'd like to have the chance to do it again, and indeed some new ones have come on board as well. So we will have over 100 businesses, clubs, associations showing all that's good about our town of Neenah on show again in the Scouts Hall, as you said, on this Friday evening from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Our special guest last year, people will remember, was from Dragon's Den, and this year it's going to, it was Gavin Duffy last year. Mm-hmm. This year we have the famous Marty Morrissey from RTE.
You're going to have screaming ladies everywhere, you know.
I'd say Marty will bring his own inimitable style to the proceedings.
Yes.
Fran, indeed.
Very good indeed. So there's a sort of a sports panel that's part of it as well.
Yes, we have a sports panel, and again, like the whole aim of this is support your community. It's a whole community event. It's not just business and sports and clubs. It's about showing, I mean, the successes from, you know, people from our own locality. So this year we're having the sports panel, and the four people on the sports panel are Gary Ryan, mm-hmm. who people will know as a two-time Olympian sprinter who started off with Neenah Olympic Athletic Club. Aisling Keller, a local girl who has done really, really well in sailing. She's a European silver medalist, so she'll be along to tell her story of success as well. Again, started off in Drumminear, the Loch Derg Yacht Club. We have Liam Sheedy, who's well known to everybody, a local person, member of Sport Ireland at the moment, and well known from RTE. And I'm sure Marty will have a lot of interesting questions to ask Liam. And then to top it off, we have David Wallace, who'll be well known to the rugby supporters around Munster, former Munster Ireland and Lions rugby player, who'll be along
panel.
To tell his story. Yeah, so it'll be very, very interesting. Of course, along with that, then we will be showing off some of the local talent like we did last year. We'll be opening it with champions from the Flynn O'Kane Academy of Dance. That's Bernadette Flynn of River Dance.
Of course,
and
yes.
her, she will have a lot of Munster champions there from last weekend in Killarney. That'll be very, very lively opening to it. We'll be presenting some prizes to local schools. A lot of them have done Christmas decorations for our tree, and we'll be presenting the prizes to them. We have Alexandra with her Zumba Strong performing. That's a very, very lively Zumba, and that club has really taken off in town. Again, with the schools, we would have done a Junior Dragon's Den last year with the CBS Primary School. This year, we did it in two schools, Carrick National School and St Mary's Primary Girls School in Neenah. So they'll be along to be presented with their certificates. And those children were really fantastic. They were fifth and sixth class in those schools. And it's amazing the ideas they came up with for business.
Isn't that brilliant? Yeah. Isn't it great to see that there's encouragement for very young people now just to think in terms of business and entrepreneurship?
Exactly,
and all of that.
Exactly. We were blown away now with what we saw in those two schools when we went out to do the dragon after the second day.
Of course,
and it's lovely to see them coming along. So I'd encourage all the parents and friends as well of the kids to come along, because it's a lovely thing for them to go up on stage and talk about what they did in Dragon's Den and have the famous Marty present them with their certs, you know.
Have you still room if there's businesses listening to us that might want to take part in
this? When I was coming down this morning, Fran, I had a quick look. I think we have about five or six spaces left. You know, we kind of packed them in last year, and we don't want to make it too crowded for those exhibiting either, but I think there was five or six, the girls were telling me when I was coming down this morning. So if anybody still wants to put in their stand, whether you're a business, a club, an association that you want to promote in town, just call into us today or tomorrow in the Bank of Ireland in Neenah, or give us a buzz.
Now, banks come in for an awful lot of critique, as you can imagine, on a programme like this, but this is your way of integrating into a community,
I suppose,
and doing something positive.
Absolutely, Fran, and I say this is repeated throughout the country now. It has been such a success, and we are delighted to be doing it for the second time, and investing in our town, investing in the people who do business with us, and encouraging small business and whatever, because Neenah is a fantastic town. And it was only last year when we were doing the research into, you know, who would like to exhibit, that I discovered myself there was so much in Neenah that I didn't know about. And a lot of people would have said to us after the event last year when they were in the hall, my goodness, I didn't realise there was such and such a club,
and
or whatever.
And they're resilient as well, because I mean, look at all the hassle they put up with over the years. Even the simple stuff like the resurfacing of the town.
Absolutely.
And the pipes and the digging up and all of that. Yeah. And still the businesses, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they went through a hard time. I mean, when I was here with you this time last year, that was all going on in the town as well. And we're only just coming to the end of it now, you could say. But and we would hear it on a day-to-day basis as well from our customers, you know, how tough it is. Again, you know, that's another area where we have supported them and you know, worked along with them to get them over those hunches and those tough times. So, yeah, so this is like a little bit of a celebration now that we've come to the end of all this. You know?
So it's this coming Friday. What time is that kicking off?
It's kicking off in the Scouts Hall at 6 o'clock from 6 to 9. It's a completely free event as well, let me say, for anybody who wants to exhibit or for the general public coming along. So if you're in, it's like there's something there for all the family, really. So if you're in town with the kids, visiting Santa or whatever, pop up after that. We have free face painting for the kids. There'll be lots of refreshments. So if you haven't time to go home for the supper after work, you know, we'll feed you as well.
You'll be well looked up.
Yeah, so it's, as I say, it's a night for everybody. And
All right. Well, listen, have a ball, and it's lovely to see you again.
Lovely. Thanks a million, Fran.
Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much indeed.